How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most number of friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You may have seen the headlines. One was a story and the other was the editorial. Recently in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, scientists bemoan ruling on stem cells, and the editorial is titled, "Stem Cell Ruling Defies Science, Logic, and Comprehension." Joining us to respond to these two pieces in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, Dr. William Hurlbut. He's a physician and consulting professor at the Neuroscience Institute at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California, and he's a former member of the President's Council on Bioethics. Dr. Hurlbut, welcome back.
Thank you.
The editorial in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch says that the Obama administration says that it will appeal Judge Lambert's decision to restrict or to not allow the extension of federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, and that that's the right decision. Is it?
Well, from their point of view, it is the right decision for them to appeal, but it isn't going to solve our problem because there's division in this nation over the use of embryos directly or indirectly for obtaining embryonic stem cells or for any other purpose that results in the destruction of the embryo, and that's exactly what the Dickey Amendment was intended to address. And so the judge has simply ruled that the Congress has made a law. It's not an encoded law, but it's a rider, so it's a year-to-year law, and it says you can't use funds for this. And the judge simply said that, in his opinion, when you look at the whole issue of the research, that Dickey Amendment does extend even to cells obtained by the destruction of embryos that weren't destroyed with federal funds. And that's what the whole issue is about. And the Obama administration thinks the Dickey Amendment's more flexibly interpreted, and so they're going to appeal.
So does the Dickey-Wicker Amendment apply to the situation the judge said it applies to?
Well, it depends on what you mean by that. I mean, the judge thought so, and you see, in order to file a lawsuit, somebody has to have standing. And in this case, stem cell researchers using adult stem cells claimed that the funding of embryonic stem cells with federal funds is deflecting dollars from their research. So that's a complicated issue itself. The judge thought that was sufficient to give standing to the plaintiff. Now, he then looked at the Dickey-Wicker Amendment and said that, in his opinion, it did meet the criterion of being extended even to the use of stem cells obtained with funds that weren't federal funds. See, here's the issue. In 1994, President Clinton appointed a panel to review the issue of whether or not leftover embryos from in vitro fertilization clinics could be used and in the process destroyed for research purposes. The panel came back and said yes, that they thought that would be okay. This was a panel appointed by Clinton administration. And they also said that in some cases it would be okay even to create embryos to use them for research, even if it destroyed them. Clinton, to his credit, said no to the latter, but to the former he said, since they're going to die anyway, we'll allow research use of these embryos. And he said that to the NIH, and the NIH was going to set up guidelines, but the Congress stepped in and passed the Dickey-Wicker Amendment, saying, no, we're not going to use embryos in research we're not going to fund it with federal funds in any case. And so that's where the Dickey-Wicker comes from.
Okay, the story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, scientists bemoan ruling on stem cells, says that the timing of this ruling is peculiar because, as they say, it comes at what could be a crossroads of sorts for stem cell research, saying that researchers are just on the edge of determining whether or not non-controversial adult stem cells show as much promise as embryonic stem cells, but they have to continue the embryonic stem cell research to make that determination. As far as you know of the research, is this true? Is it, have we come to a point where scientists are kind of making up their minds as to which is going to be more fruitful, and federal funding stands in the way of that determination?
That turns out to be a very complicated scientific question. So how close are we to having an ethical solution? We just don't know, honestly. There's a lot of talk in the pro-life community in favor of these so-called induced pluripotent stem cells that don't involve the destruction of an embryo. But there's recent papers that show that these cells are not quite the equivalent. The question is, how good are they? What uses could they be, could be made with them? And I think we're getting close, and I think, and yes, you, as you know, I have a project that I proposed called Altered Nuclear Transfer that I think has an even better chance of solving this in a way that's scientifically useful. But in either, and we're doing very well on that, by the way. We got a $2.5 million grant from the NIH to study altered nuclear transfer, and we're doing studies with monkeys, which is the way it ought to be done first, by the way, not on humans, and in any case. And the results are promising so far. So I believe, and I've always believed, since I was serving on the President's Council, we could solve this problem in a way that would sustain consensus in our nation. Now, the argument that you need embryonic stem cells to compare to the induced pluripotent stem cells, well, up until now, we've had the Bush lines that could be compared, and I think there's good reason to think that those lines are morally acceptable to use. However, the current ruling is a little complicated and ambiguous on that, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But those, you could certainly do major studies in comparison with the Bush lines, the ones that President Bush accepted to be used. Plus, you can do a lot of studies with animals. They're not exactly equivalent to human cells, but I don't buy the argument anyway, because you don't want to do research that's immoral just to get to a moral spot. The whole idea is you don't do evil that good may follow. And in my opinion, and the opinion of many, many Americans, some say half, close to half, more than half maybe, believe you should not use federal funds to support research that destroys human life. And there's no question but that a human embryo is the first stage of a human life.
So two final questions for you, Dr. Hurlbut. Is opposition to federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, is opposition to embryonic stem cell research anti-science?
Oh, no, that's just what I was saying a second ago. It's a moral objection. It's not a scientific objection. I've never said that I don't think there are possibilities in the science. It's a very early explorative process. It's a speculative science at this stage. We're learning important things in developmental biology, and I'm not against the use of these early cells. I just think we have to find a moral way to find them. We shouldn't pretend that we're scientific prophets and we can say, oh, they are no use to these cells. In fact, I think there's evident uses to embryonic stem cells for studying cell development and differentiation and these kinds of things that develop them into embryos in the natural setting. But the issue is a moral issue. And, you know, people will say, we can use these cells because they're with federal funds, because they're obtained from some other process that wasn't funded by the federal funds. In other words, the destruction of the embryo is done with private money, and then they bring the cells into the federally funded lab afterwards. But to use a rather stark and maybe too extreme an example, but still it gets the point across, you wouldn't say, well, you can use an organ obtained from a political prisoner in China, and that would be moral just because you didn't kill the political prisoner or the doctor didn't kill it. You'd say, no, that's immoral. I don't want any connection to that death. And that's the way pro-life people feel about the human embryo, that it shouldn't be considered a resource for studies of human cells and other research in the laboratory. The embryo should not be a resource, should not be treated with that kind of attitude. And therefore, using the cells once they're obtained, no matter how they're obtained, where they're obtained, has a sense of connection to something that's immoral. So that's the reasoning behind the Dickey Amendment.
So bottom line for you then, it really does come down to a question of the embryo and how ethically science must deal with the human embryo.
Well, yes, and I'm, in my mind, I'm very clear about it. We should treat it with the respect due to a developing life, and never slip into the error of saying, well, lots of good science could come if we could just use a few of these. You'll find that there is no limit to the number of experiments you can do on human embryos. Embryonic stem cell research is just the poster child for a whole arena of research. Many, many projects could involve studying embryos. And, of course, good could come from that, but the point is that you're destroying lives in the process. And you don't want to build the foundations of the future of biomedical science on something that is so ethically concerning to so many Americans. So I think this judge, in making his ruling, has done us a favor in that he's asking us to think carefully and reflectively about the basis of the Dickey Amendment, the implications of bypassing it or overturning it, and I think we'll be a better nation for having done that. I think we'll figure it out that once you give over to using human embryos, there's no end to how many projects you could do with them, no end to how many embryos you could use, and I think we need to find better ways to go forward with our scientific research.
Dr. William Hurlbut is a physician and consulting professor at the Neuroscience Institute at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California, a former member of the President's Council on Bioethics. Dr. Hurlbut, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Gretchen Pasentino Coburn. An argument was made recently in the London Times. A column was written in which someone argued that the unborn is human, and that to perform an abortion is the taking of a human life. However, the mother's rights outweigh the rights of that little human being in the womb. Therefore, at the very least, abortion is the lesser of two evils. It may be the first time you've heard that argument, an admission that the baby is there and a human being and alive and killed in an abortion, but we're going to do it anyway. How do we respond? Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mainstreaming abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Though a large majority of abortions are performed in abortion clinics not attached to any hospital or doctor's office, there is a movement afoot to change that. Those behind this movement want to mainstream abortion as medical practice. The New York Times reports, the bold idea at the heart of this effort is to integrate abortion so that it's a seamless part of health care for women. But as pro-life blogger Albert Moeller aptly notes, the normalization of abortion within the practice of medicine would be a tragedy beyond words, the embrace of death within a profession dedicated to life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.